Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name's Kerry Stevenson. Delighted that I've been able to contact Paul Adams. He's a non-executive director of Kalamazoo Resources. ASX code is KZR. Now, Kalamazoo have got a lot of projects on, but on the 24th of February, they made an announcement about their drilling program at the Ashburton project. Now, their assays, this is a maiden drill program, I believe, Paul. I'm going to leave you to talk about it. We've got lots to talk about today, but the Ashburton project, this is multiple deposits, but let's start with the announcement on the 24th of February and why this is so important and what this is leading to.
Kerry, yeah, thanks very much. And thanks again for having us on. Look, the war deposit that we drilled finally back in December, we finished drilling that in December, was really just our maiden program. It was an opening foray into, you know, what is a pretty significant mineral system. In fact, you know, our current resource base of 1.65 million ounces, we believe, is just the start. Over the next 12 to 24 months, through a really concerted drilling campaign, we want to lift that to between 2 and 3 million ounces. This was really our first foray into this project from a drilling point of view, and to have intersections like, you know, 7 and 9 meters of 4 or 5 grams, that was really a great start.
Did those results somewhat surprise you, Paul? Because there's been a bit of work done on this before, but Ashburton had been parked for a little while. It was previously owned by Northern Star, but they'd kind of taken their eye off the ball. Kalamazoo has snapped it up. And you believe that the Ashburton project has got so much more to deliver. Would that be correct?
Well, absolutely. You know, 1.65 million ounces is a big mineral system in anybody's book. And there are so many more opportunities, not only brownfields opportunities to extend the existing resources where they are in across 4 of these deposits already, or 5 of these deposits. You know, there are multiple greenfields opportunities that have got surface anomalism, you know, mapping that shows structures, and a lot of these opportunities have never had a drill hole in them, right? So even though this project has been around for a while, and it was discovered by BP, I believe, in the 80s, and then subsequently mined by SEPA between 98 and 2004, and then in, of course, Northern Star's hands for, you know, approximately 10 years. Northern Star, in 18 to 24 months, added 1 million ounces just by drilling essentially one pocket or 1 or 2 pockets of this project area. So, you know, I just cannot believe that there is anything less than 2 to 3 million ounces. And who knows? Look, I'm not going to put a cap on it.
Yeah,
but obviously, in the next 12 to 24 months, we want to expand this project to 2 to 3 million ounces, and simultaneously initiate our development studies.
Paul, from it, you know, I'm putting my investor cap on here and having a look at it. You know, you had a resource of 1.65. You're seeing that the grade is reasonable. In terms of mining this, like the process of doing that and looking at the metallurgy, could you just talk us a little bit through that? And is it going to be a difficult project, or are you saying, Kerry, it's a very large project with multiple deposits, which you believe is all going to have the potential to grow this resource? Are there challenges with the metallurgy out there, or is it fairly straightforward?
Look, you know, this project, one of the reasons why this project was you know, in some ways put on the shelf, well, actually it was it was gold price related back in 2013, right? So it wasn't necessarily the metallurgy. Now, of course, as more exploration has been done in the Pilbara, we're seeing more of these style of deposits where the sulfide, the primary mineralization, has a refractory component. This is a Carlin-style resource.
For those that don't understand, because they're, you know what, I'm always saying this to you boys because you're all very mining oriented, but I know that part of my audience out there will not understand what you mean by refractory and Carlin-style. Now, Carlin-style is very much US-centric, is that correct?
It is. Well, it's named after the Carlin trend in Nevada and the style of deposits that there are there, and not only, you know, the sediment-hosted style of deposit, but also the geochemistry. So we have a project here in the Ashburton project that previous workers, you know, not just ourselves, but Northern Star and SEPA too, have classified as a Carlin-style type deposit. So, you know, it's associated with pyrite and arsenopyrite, some very high-grade gold grades, sediment-hosted, you know, a lot of the deposit at Mount Olympus is hosted in siltstones and conglomerates. But also, you know, you've got big shear systems going through there with quartz veining as the host. So, you know, they can get very, very large. And, of course, in the US, they've been dealing with these projects for decades. You know, refractory deposits are normal over there. And in Australia, you know, we've been rather blessed, rather spoilt with these sort of very easy sort of vanilla style non-refractory type gold deposits, you know, as you see mostly in the Yilgarn. You know, is this an easy deposit? I don't think it's a particularly hard deposit. You know, obviously we are looking after, we're looking for additional oxide resources close to surface. And that is exactly what SEPA mined between 98 and 2004. They mined about 350,000 ounces at about 3 grams. You know, that's a nice grade to have in an open pit. They had a plant on site, and we'll be looking to build on our existing oxide resources. You know, add to that by several hundred thousand ounces, and maybe use that as a stage one type oxide development. You know, this is the same sort of strategy that Northern Star had back in 2012 and 13. And then they were looking at, you know, a stage two sulfide plant. Now, you know, we're not ruling anything out in terms of what the preferred development scenario would be. But, you know, if we could put together a float circuit, you know, you can practically buy them off the shelf and produce a high-grade gold concentrate. Would we do that? Absolutely, we would do that.
Yeah,
it's low technical risk, it's low capex, you know, and if we can produce a high-grade gold con, that will travel. There are global companies desperate to get their hands on gold concentrate.
Well, you mentioned just before that SEPA had taken, I think it was just over 300,000 ounces, and that there was a plant there. Is that plant gone, or can you visualize that?
So that was sold, I think, in 2006. The whole area was rehabbed in 2007. So, you know, basically it was essentially a blank canvas apart from 650,000 ounces in resources when Northern Star bought the project in 2010. They added 1 million ounces very, very quickly. You know, and it was only a change in the gold price and then subsequently a change in corporate direction that they didn't go back to it and fulfill their 2013 drill program.
Wow. So they drilled in 2012.
And 11
and 12, they did their drilling. They came up with over 1 million ounces. Mm. Then they got distracted by something else. The drill program for 13 never happened. So nothing has been done since 2012. That's almost 10 years, Paul.
Yep.
It's kind of gone under the radar as a project, hasn't it? You guys were smart and picked it up. I guess one of the things to ask you is, is it just off the Pilbara? Let's just talk about its location. Are there any challenges from environmental, Any of those sorts of challenges?
Yeah, look, there's no particular environmental challenge there, Kerry. The project's located 40 kilometres from Paramedu. So we fly on Qantas.
Right.
And within an hour we can be at the site. This is even in the Ashburton Basin, which is on the southern margins of the Pilbara, this is by no means a terribly remote area. From that point of view, it's actually quite good. You know, with Paramedu is blessed with a lot of service industries, specifically catering to the mining industry, because of course it's essentially a Rio Tinto town. You've got all those, electrical, fabrication, plumbing, all those types of logistics, all those types of businesses exist just 40 kilometres away. This is by no means a remote site. Challenges, as a couple, I guess, it's not completely flat, like the Yilgarn, and like, of course, many areas in the Pilbara. So, there's a bit of topography.
What he means by that, ladies and gentlemen, what he means by that is there's a lot of bloody hills, and I can tell you now, Paul, I won't be coming for a site visit, because I can imagine what you say is a little hill is probably a bloody big mountain, is it?
Well, look, it's not that bad. there's no snow. It's you spend a little bit more on, a bit of dozer work and some clearing and stuff like that. I spent 10 years in New Guinea. Mm-hmm. The Ashburton's like a billiard table compared to New Guinea.
Now, Paul, in terms of what you're going to do next, is that you're creating a really good, strong team there. And I think that, is it Matthew Rolfe who's joining you? Now, this is quite interesting because he was with Northern Star and he loved this project, didn't he? So let's talk a little bit about what's he said to you about this project. He's been around it for a little while.
Yeah, we were kind of very lucky to come across Matthew. He had been working with Northern Star for quite a while. I believe he was, one of the senior geologists for Northern Star in the Pilbara region, and had been looking after the Ashburton project and doing some work and generating targets and performing all those duties that make sure that the tenements were kept in good standing. But obviously Northern Star's focus was elsewhere.
Yeah.
As it should be. But of course, for Matthew, having spent 3 or 4 years looking at this project in quite some detail and generating targets, of course, he didn't have the mandate to go and drill them. So we were quite fortunate. One of the first things I had to do when we acquired this project was build a West Australian team. Mm. And Matthew now heads up the technical team that we now have built in WA. And we're looking to add to that team. So Matthew jumped at the chance because, having generated a lot of targets and thought about this project for a number of years and didn't have the mandate to drill anything, the opportunity for him to put his knowledge to good use and to have a budget to do it was obviously attractive to him from a professional point of view. So
I can imagine he's jumping at the bit right now.
Oh, he is. Yeah. He is. It's hard to keep a good man down.
Yeah, so he's pretty excited. But a couple of, we're running out of time, so I want to ask you a few more things. What's the sort of, can we talk about cost of drilling? Is it hard to get drillers out there? Is there a...
Since we've got hold of the project, a number of drill companies actually have approached us and said, look, we were drilling here 10 years ago. We know the ground. And I've got very good relationships with existing drill contractors in addition. So, look, we were fortunate. We got hold of a drill contractor relatively readily. We use them for our maiden program. You know, we'll be using them this time around this year. Excellent contractor. Very happy with them. And, you know, so we were fortunate there. There's no particular issues with getting hold of contractors to do this work on our project.
How many rigs are you going to be having in the coming year working on the project?
Well, we're going to be having an RC and a Air Corps program. I think it would be sensible if we could get a multi-purpose rig to do that, because it just gives us flexibility where we can go and deploy that on a number of projects in the most economical way. So at the moment, we're going to have a single rig, but it's always results driven. So, you know, we were probably likely to have some diamond drilling happening up there as well this year. And, you know, but essentially it will be an RC driven program.
Okay. It's really only getting started. And as I said before, on the 24th of Feb, you literally announced the maiden RC drill program. You'll have a lot more coming out this year, because now is the time, as you know, we're coming into March. This is the perfect time for you to be drilling this project out. And there's a lot more. Can you just briefly talk about some of the other projects over in WA? Because, ladies and gentlemen, Kalamazoo Resources, ASX code KZR, do have projects in Western Australia, which is where Paul is based, which is what we're talking about today. But they also have a team and projects in Victoria as well. So we'll go over that quickly. But Ashburton's the focus for 2021. Is that right, Paul?
It is for us. Over here in WA, it's by far our biggest project. It's our most important project, but we have other projects elsewhere in the Northern Pilbara. We are looking at generating targets from those opportunities currently. We've already identified a very large anomaly at our sister's project. We hope to be drilling that first half this year. In addition, that is along the same structural corridor of De Grey's deposits, including their, you know, the world-class Hemi discovery. So we'll be drilling that again for the first time. There's no drilling there currently.
Sorry to interrupt you, Paul. From the Ashburton project, how far away is the sisters project? And you're saying it's in the same geological structure as De Grey's Hemi deposit?
Correct. So that structural corridor that hosts De Grey and Wingina and Tawana and all their other projects, that continues in a southwesterly direction, and it goes straight through our sister's project, and that is where our anomaly is.
Wow. Okay, that sounds pretty exciting. When's that drill program starting?
Look, it'll be second quarter this year.
Wow, that sounds like this. Okay, so we've got sisters, we've got Ashburton.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Victoria.
And then going down to Victoria, which has got, that's a story in itself. We've run out of time for today. If I was an investor looking at Kalamazoo today, Paul, why do you think now is a good time for investors to sit up and take notice? Because I don't think that they realise what Ashburton actually is and how good it is.
Because we're cheap. we've got so much activity happening this year. You know, 2020 was actually a big year for us. COVID just didn't stop us on either side of the continent. So we're really fortunate with that. We've got two separate teams. We've got these, you know, very large project here, 1.6 million ounces on the books already in WA. We're after another Fosterval in Victoria. So our exploration target is 1 million ounces at more than 10 grams a ton. That's what we're after in Victoria.
Wow.
And our recent sort of Fentimans Reef discovery, if you like, realization has all the hallmarks, both texturally, structurally, and geochemically, to the high grade deposits in Victoria. And I'm talking specifically at Fosterval. So we hope to be drilling that either end of this quarter or early next quarter. Tremendous opportunity. So we've got lots of things happening on both sides of the country. Lots of news flow. And where there's drilling, there's hope.
And do you know what? That's what I like about Kalamazoo Resources, ladies and gentlemen, because do you know what they do? They put the money in the ground. They do the drilling. How do you find a gold deposit? You got to do the drilling. Lots of drilling going on. Thank you, Paul, for joining us today on Small Caps. I bet we're going to get you back very soon, and I'm really keen to hear how the Sisters Project turns out as well.
Great. Thanks, Kerry. Always great to chat.